This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
As we go along, let us study the male anatomy. Most men know less about their own bodies than they do about their automobiles.
The following feature has been rated R.
Don't panic.
This program contains coarse language.
It is recommended for people aged 15 years and over.
Are you ready? Sit back, turn up the volume, and enjoy our show.
Welcome.
Get ready for the ride.
Hide and seek.
Good evening and welcome to Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Big thank you to Malcolm and Stuart on that sports show. I am Andrew the Apprentice. Good evening, Mr. Tim.
Good evening.
Your last program for the year.
It is. I'm wrapping it all up for the silly season.
It's only a couple of weeks. What is today?
It's next week. Just saying.
It is too.
Merry Christmas.
10 days away.
Do you know I've been trying to say Merry Christmas to at least five random strangers per day?
Well, you just did it then by saying it on air. So
I
there
know.
You go.
So I've just hit everyone all at once. My quota is filled.
So as usual, you're heading away.
I am. I'm doing a road trip. I'm heading up to Sydney to see the family for Christmas and then doing the tropical fruits Northern New South Wales thing. Yeah, with most of Melbourne.
I think it is that time of year when most of Melbourne heads to Northern New South Wales to tropical fruits.
Yes, should be lots of fun.
It should be. And look, tonight we're going to be doing a little bit of a look back in a weird way, and we're going to be asking the question, has 2016 been the year of the kinky pup?
I would say yes.
So we're going to be joined by Taylor in the studio this evening. We're going to be asking that question to kick off the conversation very soon. And because I think the pups have become a lot more visible than they were this time last year. So let's try and find out a little bit more about what's been happening here in Melbourne in particular, I guess, over the last 12 months.
Definitely. Sounds good.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. This is your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. And this evening we'll be exploring the pup community in Melbourne over the last 12 months. If you've got a comment or a question, let us know. This is Hide and Seek, your program for exploring sex, sexuality and self. Andrew the Apprentice here, along with Mr. Tim. Now, Mr. Tim, in Melbourne in particular, here over the last 12 months, I think we've seen a bit of an explosion of a new part of our kink and kink community.
We certainly have, and I've certainly noticed lots of pups around the place.
Exactly. There is a plethora of pups here in Melbourne at the moment. And
is a group of pups called a plethora?
We'll have to ask our next guest.
We shall.
Taylor, good evening. Welcome to Hide and Seek.
Good evening.
Now, you are part of a pup group. What is your pup group's name?
So that is VicPAR, the Victorian Pups and Handlers social group.
Okay. And so would you tend to agree with us old fellows that the pup community has exploded in the last 12 months, here in Melbourne in particular?
Yes, definitely.
So what was the pup scene, you know, 12, 18 months ago in Melbourne?
12, 18 months ago would have been far, far smaller. We're in orders of magnitude larger than then. Back then, there'd be a few sporadic groups of friends that are pups. Back then, VicPAR and QPAR, which is the Queensland Pups and Handlers, were the only ones in Australia. And so far, the only states that's missing one is Tasmania.
So every other state's got a pup group?
Yes.
Wow.
And what is it about pup play that makes it so accessible?
Pups just seem to come out of the woodwork. Like, they were already there. They just needed an environment to express themselves and how they wanted to.
So why is it... Most pups we see here in Melbourne, at least, are young, yep. I would say, you know. Under 25, maybe?
Well,
under 30,
the age,
certainly.
We've seen a few under 18-year-olds pop up.
Wow.
But most would be between the ages of 18 to late 50s.
Okay. So why do you think it is that the fellows like yourself, you similar age to yourself, are out and about and you know, embracing the pup lifestyle?
Everyone's got their own reasons, but from my personal experience, I've seen a lot of people get into the community because they find that it's gives them a release in their everyday lives. It's a moment they can cast the shackles of society off their shoulders and just relax and be in the moment.
And have you found that these people have transitioned from other types of kinks, like BDSM, for example, or are they completely fresh?
There is a lot of crossover with many groups in and outside of the kink community. Even furries and comic cons would even cross over into the pup community.
But these are groups, I guess, that haven't traditionally hung out at the leather bars that the community know that were around, you know, even 5 years ago. There seems to be a new community with a new dynamic that hasn't got the connections with other parts of the community.
Yeah, well, the community's now learnt to band together and support each other. And so we can stand on our own two feet and be independent while mingling with other communities than being afraid and just hanging out with other fellow pups. We can mingle with the leathers and the rubber and all the other interesting sorts.
Were there other communities that maybe you didn't feel welcome in, or was it an age thing, or... Were there any factors like that?
It wasn't about not feeling welcome. It's that just the pure unknown. It's like, oh, do we go to this venue? Will they throw us out, or will they just give us strange looks? And 9 times out of 10 we'd go in and they find us absolutely adorable or absolutely hilarious.
Because, yeah, as we're saying, there seems to be a whole group of young men embracing the lifestyle of a pup. What is a pup lifestyle for you?
For me personally, it's got a lot of mental health aspects to me. It's that mindfulness of being in the moment. I can somehow put all my anxieties of the day in a little box in the side and just be on all fours and howl at the moon.
And do other pups talk about it the same, similar ways, do you know?
I know for a fact that I'm not the only one that thinks that. Everyone's got their own opinions, and there's plenty of pups that go, I don't know why I do this, but I enjoy it.
So rather than downloading the meditation app, you can put on a pup mask and play around.
Yeah.
And is it necessarily a sexual thing?
No, in fact, at the end of last year was the first ever scientific study done on pup play, and 80% of participants, it's purely social. There is no sexual aspect to it.
Really?
Only about 20%.
So all the kids... So is that... I'm shocked at that. Is it about the... Is it just that, like, all the uniform and the harnesses and because that's usually the rubber suits, for example, are usually associated with sex rather than social. How does that marry up? Is it about the pup mask only, or is there other aspects?
A majority of pups find that the headspace, that the your mental attitude in the scene or the session is what's paramount. There's plenty of pups out there that have no gear. Some pups find the gear is like a physical comfort zone other than a normal mental comfort zone that the average person would have.
Because for young guys in particular, you know, a pup mask, I'm assuming, is not cheap.
No.
So there has to be, I suppose, a balance for pups entering into the community about having the mindset but not necessarily having the equipment.
Yeah, and I'm not the only one out there that promotes the idea that gear is not essential. If you've got the right attitude, come on and join in with lots of puppy cuddles and belly rubs. And
so perhaps could that be why the explosions happened, that this particular type of kink, if you will, is actually quite flexible and not rigid like some of the old leather ones or the rubber community, stuff like that?
Yeah, there's an extreme sense of flexibility. For example, in Australia, is actually the only country in the world that every pup group is all-inclusive. We have female pups, we've got straight pups, we've got straight couples, we've got trans pups, and the list goes on.
As you said, across Australia, there's been an explosion of groups happening. Is it just that the people have been able to connect more, or why have the groups themselves formed, as opposed to just couples and smaller groups not being official, I suppose?
Well, it's that people have wanted it, and it's just needed someone or a group of people to go, well, I want this too, and I'm going to do something about it. And just like with VicPar, it starts forming, and all these people come out of the woodwork, from people that are completely new to pup play and have just seen it in passing, to those that have been, hey, I've been a pup for 15 years and I've always wanted a group like this, and they just join on in.
So is it about the camaraderie, perhaps, as maybe the forefront rather than sex?
There is definitely a sense of unity that we're all one big puppy family.
Oh, I love that.
But I hear there are also pup politics.
Isn't any group?
So is it a case that not all pups get along?
Oh, it is a case, but what do you expect at a dog park? Do you think every dog find it fantastic? No. There's always going to be arguments and fights between certain people and different mindsets. But at the end of the day, everyone's there for the same reasons, and that's to express themselves how they want to, and at least everyone has that common understanding.
Sorry, you were going to say something?
That's good. I mean, the common understanding is important, isn't it?
Yeah. And a vast majority of the community believe that it's how you want to do it is what matters. As soon as someone says, you've got to do it this way, or if you don't do this, you're not doing it properly, they're a bit delusional if they think that.
Sure. So would the same types of pups stick together, or would there be different types of pups in the one group?
Oh, there's definitely groups out there that are quite clicky, and then you'll find that those groups won't just isolate themselves, that they'll still mingle with everyone else, depending on their concepts. You've got some that are very authoritarian or love that traditional BDSM control and humiliation, which a lot of pups will go, great, that works for you, good on you, but I'm going to do it my way.
Right.
But then you'll find a majority of pups will go, well, I would just want to do it the way I want to, so they all just get along with them.
And would each group have their own handler, or could you have a group of just pups?
A handler is not essential. For example, I'm an alpha pup. I run my own pack of pups, and I've got three pups of my own, but I also have my own handler. Well, right. My handler is not the handler of the pack. He's just my handler. And there's other packs out there that have a handler that's in charge of the whole pack, and some packs that are just pups. Well, I've even recently heard of beta packs, which are just packs that don't even have an alpha in charge, that they're all kind of semi-submissive to each other. And
wow, this is quite a complex hierarchy.
There's an urban dictionary worth of terminology out there.
Well, wow. We're going to come back and find out a little bit more in detail about the pup culture, because Taylor does run a website, pupplay.info. So while this track's playing, why don't you go have a quick look? There's a heap of information there.
Everything
is there. And we'll be back very shortly to find out more here on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Wanna see you again, baby? Wanna see you shake it down, baby? Hey, hey, hey. L-A-S-D-Y, you nasty boy.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9, your program for exploring sex, sexuality, and self. And tonight we're exploring whether 2016 was the year of the pup, and I think it was. So Taylor is joining Tim and myself in the studio. So Taylor, you touched very briefly on the hierarchy of a pack. So you've got a hand. Just make sure I've got this right. You've got a handler at the top.
Yep.
Then you have an alpha pup.
Yes.
Now, can a handler have more than one alpha pup?
Yes, but I would recommend that any. You wouldn't have more than one alpha in a pack.
Aha.
So it's like a second in charge. You wouldn't have two second in charges.
Yeah, yeah.
No, there's different terms for a second in charge. Some people will call them a beta, while some people will call them an alpha's mate.
Okay.
But the general concept is to fall back to that traditional concept of what a pack of wolves are like.
Sure. So you've got the handler at the top, the alpha pup, and then all the other pups.
Yeah. And so they would use, most of the time, the letters of the Greek alphabet.
Okay.
While my pack, for example, is just alpha, beta, and omega. Mm-hmm. Ranging from me as an alpha, I've got two pups that are betas and one that's an omega. And the omega would be the most submissive in the pack. While some packs out there will have delta pups and phi pups.
So is your pack only the three pups you've got and the handler and yourself?
Yes. While my handler also has another pup that's part of my pack and another pup that's not part of my pack.
Okay, got that, everyone?
It's quite a flow chart.
Do you have to remind us? Everyone come to the meeting now. Here's the flow chart.
We've actually had my Amiga pup and my handler attempt to make a flow chart several months ago, and they're still trying to figure it out.
So do people make mistakes over hierarchy, I guess, and what they're allowed to do?
No, there's no real mistakes per se. I've had people that have gone, I chose to be an alpha, or some people that said that their pups chose them to be an alpha, or they say, oh, my handler chose me to be a beta. each one of those options is correct. You can't really choose wrong.
Right.
Okay.
And how does a pup get their name?
Again, it depends.
Right.
So, for example...
This is all very millennial-focused, isn't it, Tim?
Yes. So, for me personally, I chose my pup name, which is Tycho,
right,
named after the ancient astronomer. My Omega pup already had an existing pup name, and I let him keep it. And my two beta pups, I actually chose their names for them. And both of them, like, got teary-eyed when I gave them their dog tags. And I just chose to have, like, a little ceremony of a dog tag with their name printed in it to give to them.
So you generally do that at the same time? It's like giving a wedding ring or something?
It's kind of like a birthday.
A birthday?
So it's like they get their pup name and it's like their pup birthday.
Wow. And is that celebrated each year?
In my pack, it is. Some packs don't, some pups do or don't. It really depends. And sometimes even the handlers choose a name, even without asking the pup what to call them. And if it works for those pups and handlers and those dynamics, then there's nothing wrong with it.
Now, you've been running a website for a little while now,
yep,
which is pupplay.info. Why did you set that up?
Because at the time, which was almost a year ago, there was next to no information on the internet. And what information there was very much of a, in my opinion, pupplay is ... While I felt that the community wanted a source of information to be able to go, I'm wanting some ideas, some inspiration, where do I go?
So it seems like this website is something you're curating. You've called it, you know, an encyclopedia or
yep,
something about pup play. So do you put your own opinion on it, or is it just a collection of articles? And
yeah, so there's a few articles there that are written by me, and a majority of them I haven't written, that either they've been someone else has donated it to the website, or that someone else has published it and I've just republished it to collate the information. So it ends up becoming a community website that it's run by the community for the community, instead of it just being one person or one pack saying, oh, do it my way.
And so there's all different opinions, depending, yep, on which way you want to look at different aspects. So, for example, I did see an article about what not to do if you're a handler, stuff, yep, like that. But that's one person's opinion.
Yep.
And I'm sure others have theirs as well.
Yeah, and there's even plenty of articles there that will contradict itself within the same article, saying, oh, do this, and then another bit saying, oh, but don't do this because ... And so it trying to give the power to the person that's reading it, going, okay, I like this bit, I hate this bit makes me throw up, I love this bit. And then they can go away and take the bits they want to and explore those and get to learn more about their own identity.
And I think as well, one aspect I noticed about pup play is that it is very individualistic.
Yeah.
So you kind of create your own personality, if you want to call it,
yes,
that. You know, you use colours that you want people to know you as, so you might be yellow or whatever,
yep,
and you kind of build that.
Yes.
Is that ever chosen for you, or is that something that's completely individual?
Again, it depends. So there's plenty of handlers or masters out there that have chosen colours or personalities to their pups, while some pups have gone into the community or into their own headspace not knowing what to expect, and outcomes and identity without any real pre-thought. For example, when I got started into pup play, I didn't know how to howl.
Right.
And I just kind of explored that on my own till I was comfortable doing it around other people. Now, I've got this random howl I am too embarrassed to do on radio.
Oh, I was about to ask.
But it's basically the equivalent of a dog that's trying to talk. And I once saw a video of my actual dog breed that I identify with, which is Icelandic sheepdog. And it was of the Icelandic sheepdog trying to talk. I couldn't stop laughing for about half an hour because it sounded identical to how I sounded without me knowing about it beforehand. And I was just sounding it, just reaffirmed that.
Wow. Now, so that'd be quite a spiritual thing for you.
It can be.
And that was something I hadn't realized. So you identify as a type of breed as well.
Yep. And I chose my breed while my other three pups, they asked me to choose their breeds for them. And they identify to theirs as strongly as I identify to my own.
Wow. So how do you know all the breeds? And how do you, is this just something you learn, you research, I guess?
A number of people that ask me for advice these days, and I just end up saying, find what dogs out there you like the physical look of, because unlike real life, you can actually choose how you look.
And true.
Then go through them and see which ones match your personality of either you have or that you want to have. And through that process, I found my own and my own pup's breeds. And now we all consider them as if we were born with that kind of personality.
Personality. Wow.
Wow, that's amazing. So you could choose your own breed or you could have someone choose it for you.
And while with my pups, I got into lengthy discussions about what makes them feel free and in control, that, and with that information I help choose what breed they are, while some people have a handler or a master, they'll go, you're a husky, and I'll just go, yes sir, and that works for them, and there's nothing wrong with that as well.
I think I'd prefer to choose my own. What don't know about, what about you, Tim?
I don't know, I'm quite submissive, so I'm quite happy to go with the flow, actually. What would you choose, Andrew?
I don't know. I don't know my breed.
I think
well
you're
enough.
Like a border collie.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Aren't they? No. No, I do know border collies.
Actually, you don't
no.
have as much energy as a border collie.
No, I don't. You are on Hide and Seek. Let us know what your breed is on 0427JOY949, or you can email onair@joy.org.au. We've had one question come through that we'll get to very shortly. You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9.
Positive Women is a support and advocacy organisation working with women living with HIV. Positive Women recognises the individual needs of these women and provide them with a safe and comfortable environment that is completely confidential. To find out more information, go to positivewomen.org.au.
A community service announcement supported by Joy.
Fire it all.
This is Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We are talking about 2016 as being the year of the pup. It is that time of year where we everyone puts up their videos on social media about what their year's been like. But we're just going to talk about the year of the pup.
I decided that you're not a Maltese Terrier because they have too much energy.
Yappy. I'm like some old...
Something, yeah, a bit cranky.
A bit cranky.
A little bit docile.
Not a people person.
Not a people person.
People dog. No, I'm not a person dog.
A people dog. I reckon I'm probably a border collie. I'm very happy-go-lucky and like... smelling roses and stuff.
Or a Labrador. Now, Tim, we've had some messages come through on 0427JOY949.
And we've got some fans in the audience. Love listening to the gorgeous Tycho Arf from Jason in Ivanhoe. And we do have a question specifically around the contests. Now, if a leather title contest judge people on a standard set of rules or criteria, but pup play has no rules, how do pup title contests work?
Oh, very interesting.
Whoever dies of rabies last. it's a very good question. And in fact, Australia is about to have their first national pup and handler competition next year.
Ah.
While the first international one was about almost 20 years ago.
Because we haven't touched on this, but I guess for Australians, often we hear about the pups because we've been sending, you know, people to IML contests and everyone comes back, talks about all the pup play that happens at those events in Chicago and other elsewhere in the world. But it seems to have just landed here. So contests do happen overseas.
Yes.
So how is the Melbourne one going to be different? Or will it be different?
Well, Australia's got some interesting quirks in pup players, amongst other things. And it's all inclusive. Pup play here is strictly all inclusive. While there are some events in the community that are for the gay male community, there are a majority of them that are all inclusive. And which means the competitions will strictly be all inclusive. And while they do follow a similar structure as like a leather title, that there's interviews and there's stage performances and a talent section, it's almost, you could say, a merge of the different styles of all the different kink titles out there. While you can go up on stage in rubber or leather or nothing, I guess. It's to show your personality and your identity and what you can do for the community to support it and help it grow.
And how does that play out? How would you assume it plays out on the international stage if they have different rules and regulations over there?
Well, the Australian competition will be an official feeder for the International Puppy and Trainer Contest that happened in Dallas, Texas about a month or two ago.
Right.
And so we will be trying to keep it to a similar format so you don't end up winning and then going overseas and go, what the heck is this?
Yeah.
But there's competitions that are like the Puppy UK competition can be more social and laid back, while Mr. Puppy Europe is more on the BDSM, more sexual side. So there's plenty of competitions out there that slightly different. They're not just cookie cutter competitions.
So would they have a women's section, a men's section, a trans section?
So here there'll be two titles. There'll be one for the pup and one for the handler. And each pup and handler will be paired up, but the pair doesn't win. You could have one that's won to a pup and then a different handler is given the title as well.
Oh, wow.
So either you can go in and compete as a pair, but it doesn't necessarily mean you'll win as a pair.
Gosh.
Wow, that's going to cause all sorts of dramas, isn't
it? That'll be huge dramas.
More
and
puppy
in fact,
politics.
In the States, a number of title holders this year in the regional pup contests are females.
Right. And their pup won as well, or no? They just won the handlers.
There is pups as far as I know.
Wow.
So, it's going to be very interesting. So, 2017 is going to be, of course, we had the first Melbourne Rubberman competition in 2016. The Laird Leatherman's been running for many years, but sounds like 2017 will be the year of the first pup competition here in Victoria. So that's going to be exciting. So stay tuned on Hide and Seek for that one. No doubt we'll have to get you back in, Taylor, to find out more about what's been happening.
It's planned to be around Mardi Gras season, so we'll be back to
only a few months away.
Oh yes.
So
no rest for the wicked.
Exactly. So pupplay.info was your website. If you are interested in Pup Play, go along there and check it out. As we said, there's heaps of information on there. And obviously you and your team, your pack, keep it updated fairly regularly.
Yep, we do.
So we'll make sure that there's a podcast of this over there when it's available. Taylor, thank you so much for joining us this evening here on Hide and Seek.
You're welcome.
Yes, we only scratched the surface yet again, but
Seems to be the way.
It always seems to be the way, but we'll have to get you back.
Right now.
We'll have to get you back. In particular, finding
just call the dog whistle.
Get you back and find out.
I know what you
more.
Are. You're a poodle.
Me?
Yeah.
No.
I have a nickname for one of my pups. We call him Strudel the Poodle.
Wow.
Oh, one very quick question. We know red's for fisting, yellow's for piss. Is there a colour for pups?
There isn't.
There isn't.
But that's also why lots of pups have their own colours to flag those kinks.
So would you say a pup with a yellow mask would be flagging piss play?
Yeah.
Right.
There we go. So the colours are the same.
But usually if they're wearing a hood, they're flagging pup stuff. Or a tail.
We're going to have to get back to this in 2017, Tim.
I need to go and read this website.
Taylor, thank you so much for joining us here tonight.
Thank you.
That's been Hide and Seek for another week. Coming up next is Indie Heads, new program.
Awesome.
Here on Joy 94.9. Don't forget, all of our podcasts are available at joy.org.au/hide-and-seek. Where also all of our links to our social media are. Now, Tim, as I said, you're going to be away for a few weeks.
Merry Christmas!
Yep.
I've said that again.
You said it twice. Again.
Yeah.
I think Ben's gone now. So Dean and I will be here. We're the only ones here next week. So
you're going to be chained to the desk.
Yeah. So join us then. And we'll be back, of course, at 9 o'clock next Wednesday night. Basically to wrap up the year, I guess.
How exciting. What's happening?
Well, Dean always does something to do with Christmas songs, so I don't want to know.
Christmas sex songs?
Yes, I think he has a catalogue somewhere out the back.
Oh, there's this amazing animation that's on social media at the moment, and it's basically got penises in it, everything, and it's all Christmas, but lots of violence and blood and stuff.
Oh.
It's pretty cool, though. Should check it out.
You're on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Hey, this is Tim from Hide and Seek. This podcast is brought to you by Choosewell Health Insurance. While some things in life improve with time, it's unlikely your health insurance policy will. Choosewell. Compare hundreds of policy options to find the best health insurance for you at the right price. Don't spend hours researching and making confusing phone calls that leave you lost in the fine print. Hide and Seek listeners are being offered a special deal. Find a new healthcare policy with Choosewell to receive a free Joy membership, giving you benefits and rewards from Joy all year round. Stop paying for outdated cover and contact us today. Choose well. Make the switch today. joy.choosewell.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.